Welcome back to Crunch Time. It's time for the Crunch Exchange, brought to you by the Josh Cooley team of Keller Williams Realty. Alex presents the prospectus. Steve lets us know if he's buying, selling, or if it's pending. Sell your home worry-free with Josh Cooley, Keller Williams Realty.
Hey, Bell, you loud enough? Jeez.
So buttons.
Welcome back to Crunch Time. Final segment on a Wednesday means time for the Crunch Exchange. I'm going to give Steve some stories from around sports. He's going to tell us if he's buying or selling the prospectus from the stories. Sometimes he says pending, too.
We're doing sports today? I wouldn't have showed up.
Can we just do nothing but hot political takes all day? With all due respect to the monumental hockey trades today, the big news, as will always be the case, came from the NFL and Andrew Luck signing the richest deal in terms of millions per year in NFL history. Inks a six-year extension worth $140 million, comes out to $23.4 million per. Andrew Luck, Steve, coming off the worst season of his career, in which he missed 9 games due to injury, threw 15 touchdowns to 12 interceptions. When he wasn't hurt, he wasn't very good. In all fairness to him, he was hurt, and he wasn't surrounded by anyone on the field with any discernible talent of any kind. Now, he is the highest paid player in the NFL, and you've heard people like Gottlieb say he's easily worth it because of his abilities when healthy and his nature as a person, which is a student of the game, Stanford grad, clearly dedicated to his craft. And heck, the team parted ways with a top 10 QB of all time to make room for him when they drafted him. Obviously, the team was already invested. But with guys like Newton, J.J. Watt, Aaron Rodgers out there, should Andrew Luck really be paid like he's the best? The prospectus, Andrew Luck should be the highest paid player in the NFL.
You know, that's weird because would it really be different if he was third? So I'm gonna give leeway there and say absolute easy buy. He should be one of the highest paid, if not the.
Staying with NFL contracts, Doug Baldwin re-upped with the Sea Chickens yesterday to the tune of 4 years, $46 million. Absolutely played amazing ball last season for Seattle. Nearly 80 catches, over 1,000 yards, 14 touchdowns. That last stat tied for the league lead with Brandon Marshall and Allen Robinson of Jacksonville. And this for a team that was without Jimmy Graham due to injury and with Jermaine Kearse as basically the only other weapon on offense for Russell Wilson to look to. He stepped up huge, especially in December when he caught 10 of his touchdowns. But that said, he basically had all of his production in the year during that four-week span. Didn't do much to the year before. I mean, he was okay, but not elite by any stretch. And now the Seahawks are paying a guy to essentially do what he did for a month for an entire season and become an elite NFL pass catcher worthy of his new deal. The prospectus, Doug Baldwin is an elite receiver and should be paid like it.
But here's the question. Is he really being paid like an elite receiver? He just got all that money up front, $46 million, as nuts as it is, in a couple years when the salary cap's $175 million, and he's counting 11 against the salary cap, and he's a number one or two receiver. I think he's worth it. I'm going to buy that.
Olympic golf in the news this week. No one caught any microbial diseases or anything. Yeah. No one was kidnapped. Yeah, yet. But it's in the news because yet another pro player has backed out of the Olympics. This time it's the world's number one player, Jason Day, who told the media that he fears the Zika virus, and that led to his decision. Add him to the laundry list of other players like Rory McIlroy, Adam Scott, and the Olympic Games is basically turning into an amateur golf tournament. This led IOC member Barry Meister to say this week that the Olympics should just scrap golf altogether if they aren't going to have the best players in the world to compete. Basically, what's the point, is his question. The IOC is apparently going to meet very soon to determine if it's going to continue to have golf at all. And if there isn't a drastic change, they will likely drop it, apparently. The prospectus, if the best players don't compete, should the IOC should drop golf.
First of all, weeks ago, before, I would say months ago, I was like, golf is the stupidest Olympic sport I've ever come across. Jason Day is as young as he is. He's going to earn like $1 billion. He's at his age, and he realizes, why would I risk that for something this ridiculous? So that's another kind of easy buy. I mean, I didn't wish the Zika virus on anybody, but if it's going to bag golf as an Olympic sport, I'm double buying.
There, I had to get the second one in there.
I doubled down.
Pat Summitt passed away yesterday after 5-year battle with early onset dementia. Obviously spent much of the day discussing with people the amazing accomplishments during her career and all the people she touched, whether it be former players, coaches like Kelly Graves who joined us, players like Bev Smith who joined us. Obviously an amazing teacher and ambassador for the game of basketball. Now, how does she stack up historically? She finished her career with 1,098 wins, which is a D1 record for both men's and women's coaches. Coaches, took the Lady Vols to 18 Final Fours, won the SEC 16 times, and won 8 national championships. I know what Gino Auriemma is doing right now at UConn is unbelievable, but I think even he'd tell you Summitt did more, far more so far. So that leaves us to compare her to the great men's coaches. Mike Krzyzewski has the most wins ever on the men's side, but he's still 50 or 60 short of Summitt, has 6 fewer Final Four appearances, and 3 fewer national titles. I think we could probably say he's the best the men's game has to offer, but there's a real argument to be made that his competition is much greater. So I'll just ask it. The prospectus: Pat Summitt is the best college basketball coach ever.
Ever. Maybe the most impactful for what she did. The best ever. That's really difficult because first, and as she was compiling all these wins, like you said, there was maybe some Louisiana Tech in there, then Tara at Stanford. It's almost like a too soon.
It's okay to sell this.
I'm definitely going to sell it.
Here's probably
because there's no more pending.
Well, you could pend with Krzyzewski. I don't know. Here's probably the easiest one ever. You said that last one was. Here's probably the easiest one ever. But the last time I said that, you said it was something else. And I'm just going to ask it anyways. Leo Messi, the world's best soccer player, announced after Argentina's loss to Chile in the Copa America finals, in which he airmailed a penalty kick, his first ever PK miss in international competition, that he is going to retire from international competition. 29 years old, but has been competing in Barcelona since he was 13 and joined their youth academy. With Barcelona's big boy team, he has won the Ballon d'Or 5 times, won 8 league titles, 4 Champions League titles, 4 Copas del Rey. Basically, as a professional, he's incredible, and his teams can't lose. Internationally, he has never won a major competition with Argentina. No Copa titles, no World Cup titles, nothing. And his team is still ranked number one in the world consistently because he's on it. It's his white whale, Steve, basically. The prospectus: you buy or sell Leo Messi retiring from Argentina soccer?
If he's not on the field wearing number 10, their first match in the 2018 World Cup, whoever's listening now, hit me up. You get at least the beer. So I'm not buying that at all. That's a big-time sell. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. You know, when they introduced tennis as an Olympic sport, I was like, isn't it a case of there's enough? I know that might sound weird, but you have 4 different majors. In golf, 4 different majors. You know, in baseball, basketball, football, and hockey, there's 1 title. It's like, do you think Serena looks back at her career and says, ooh, the 21 Grand Slams were pretty good, but I also won a gold medal that no one is aware of. So I'm literally ecstatic that they're going to revisit this and in the same year maybe decide this is the stupidest idea we ever had. I mean, aside from, you know, having venues host this event that crush the local economy, uses slave labor, aside from the bad humanity, just from a sporting idea, just so freaking stupid.